Good morning, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignments from over the weekend. On Friday, self-hate holds in place the suffering over an issue by making it you wrong. What self-hating voices do you hear around this process focus? Write down the self-hating messages. Example, and you say you want to be generous? RL what you're seeing. Note, never record self-hate messages. Then on Saturday, there is always an implied message underlying what self-hate says. Like the raised eyebrow that is loaded with meaning, every self-hating voice is loaded with implications. Assignment, what message about who or how you are is being implied by the self-hate messages? Example, the underlying message in, and you say you want to be generous, is that deep down I'm not. I'm a hypocrite for saying I want to be giving and not being willing to give my time, my energy, or myself when it's asked of me. RL what you see. And then on Sunday, the self-hating message is that as we are, we're not enough. Enough for what? What does that mean? If you were enough, then what? Assignment. What does self-hate say you are missing? RL what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Ashwini, this is Justin.
Hello, Justin.
Hey, how's it going?
What are you seeing?
Well, I'm just jumping into the session focus now. I was doing a little bit of traveling, so I've just been back for a couple of days, but I just read the write-up. I guess I see that we're doing giving. And, I had an interesting situation come up yesterday evening that I noticed. And what happened was I'm at my parents' house, and it was right before dinner time, and I went to go run and get us some smoothies, and it just dropped in that I would get, you know, a smoothie for myself and my parents. And then, I don't know, when I came back, on the way back, I guess I saw this, like, karma or conditioning that there's only, like, such a finite amount of, I guess, the content in this case was smoothie, and that if I give some away, I'm, like, cheapening the experience for myself, like, I'm not getting enough. And, yeah, I guess I see that in a lot of different areas, this idea of, like, a separate self and there's only a finite amount.
That's right. And so as a separate self, essentially it's us, me, it's me against everyone and everything.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like the hungry ghost, right? You can never get enough, but you keep being told if only I just get more and more and more, then
that's
I'll somehow be satisfied, right?
That's right. And the deeper part of that is it has nothing to do with content, of course. It's just a process to keep your attention on how to get more.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing wrong, like, not enough. That's it. Yeah.
Right. And, like, it sounds so silly, but, like, I was getting caught in this smoothie thing. Like, there's different flavors, and, like, I want to have the chocolate flavor and the tropical flavor, and if I can have both those flavors, then it's going to be the best experience for me. I mean, it sounds kind of ludicrous out loud, right? But, like, in that conversation.
Well, Justin, that's why we get together and say this stuff out loud. It is
yes.
Ludicrous, right? But
it is,
inside
right?
The head, right, when we're caught in it and we deeply, deeply believe it, it's not ludicrous. We believe it, and it promises us every single time, if only it'll be perfect, you'll have what you want, you'll be satisfied. It never happens, and we keep not learning. We keep falling for it, which is what awareness practice is about, right? The whole point of awareness practice is let's stop falling for that.
Right. Let's say it out loud, whether it's in the recorder or be reflected, or facilitated like I am now, and then we're moving
out of
the conversation, right? And into
that's
awareness.
Right. That's right. Because it's going to have a way, it's probably never going to get you about smoothies again. So now it's got to move on to another piece of content, right? And since our lives are infinitely varied, In terms of what's available to us in the moment, ego has plenty of opportunities, moment by moment by moment, to drag us back into that. There's something wrong. There's not enough. Let's figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Huh? And thank goodness we can be grateful when it happens with smoothies and not something that would really be, you know, detrimental to ourselves or someone else.
Right. No, that's a great point. That's good.
Yeah.
Right. And just as a final point, right, if you get caught in the content, you can go forever, like you were saying, because everything, you know, content always changes, right? And if we focus on that, we'll never get anywhere.
We'll suffer.
We'll suffer, sure.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put
we'll
it.
We'll continue
right.
to suffer. Yeah. Yeah, that's where we'll get
cool.
to. All right.
That's
thank
right.
you, Justin.
Exactly. Okay, thank you. Have a good morning. Thank you.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Justin. Joy, I saw something when you said, you know, we just believe it. In some senses, I think what you're pointing to is we don't question it, right? So I'm having a conversation
right.
about how I like chocolate and whatever,
tropical.
Whatever. And mm-hmm. it's just, it's like there's no awareness unless I bring awareness to it that it's a conversation creating dissatisfaction. Because that's all it
that's
is,
right.
right? That I'm constantly
right.
dissatisfied.
That's right.
Yeah.
And here's the awareness practice get out of jail free card.
Mm-hmm.
It's realizing I can only be as happy as I can be. If I learn to be completely happy with chocolate or tropical, then it doesn't matter whether I have chocolate or tropical, because I'm going to be as happy as I can be, even if they're out of both.
Mm-hmm. Because I know how to be happy.
I know how to be happy, and it has nothing to do with smoothies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Okay, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Well, hello, Jennifer. What are you seeing?
Well, I was just thinking that I'm glad to know that it's not all about smoothies for happiness. That's very good.
That's right, because they're probably less available to you than they are to a lot of folks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what I have...
No Jamba Juice on the corner?
No corners. Not getting to any corners. What I'm noticing is that, and the self-hate message about giving, I guess I just really noticed how clunky and old all the stories about giving are and how restrictive.
Oh, yeah.
They're just,
yeah.
I mean, it has me standing back a little bit going, really? Really, there's only so much to give, and then if you give, you lose it, and you're not giving
it. And it belongs to me? Does it really? It really
yeah.
belongs to me. So that means when I die, I will be taking it with me, right? Because it's mine? Is that? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. And the separateness that all of that kind of thinking involves. It's
mm-hmm.
just, it requires that there's me and then everybody else, and that we're all separate, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, it has to have that, or it can't have all these stories about giving and what that means. And
right, right. And it doesn't have any stories to make you believe it's real.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was
sure explains the world, story. Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, explains
mm-hmm.
a lot of behaviors in the world, and
mm-hmm.
but the thing that caught my attention was like, they're just so much stories. They're just stories, and they're nothing to do with me.
Yeah, and if they're that familiar,
mm-hmm.
if they're that familiar, and nothing has changed. You know, because it's not just a story of what's wrong with you, of how it is and how it needs to be and how it should be and how you are and how you're not, right? It's how you should be And I would project you've spent your life, because I know you're a good person, you've spent your life trying to live up to the shoulds that those voices tell you, and nothing has changed.
Nope, it's the same story, and there's never going to be any living up to that.
That's exactly it, yeah. And so, as you say, and that, and again, that's the beauty of awareness practice, right? Because we're watching, and we see it over and over and over. Oh, my God, wait a minute. How can that be true? What? Wait a minute. That's not even my experience.
Right. Right. Oh, they're just clunky stories. That's the only word I can think of for it. It's like these don't even work.
Nobody's going to publish those. Send those into any publication, and they're going to reject them. Right? They are bad stories.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good to see, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's great.
Because we can just say, okay, yeah, I don't need to waste any time on that. Oh, that one? No, I don't need to waste any time or attention on that.
No, skip that
clunky,
one.
Clunky.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
We're not doing clunky.
No.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's
Ashwini?
Oh, can you not hear me?
You started out and then you went away.
Oh, what I was saying is that the wonderful thing about awareness practice, right, Cherry, is that we go from that content focus to a process awareness, and so repetition or similarity of pattern are what we start to cue into as the awareness that we're identified with conditioned mind, right? I mean, there's a way in which when we move from the specific to the structure of the process, then we realize we are in suffering, and then we can redirect the attention.
Yes, yes. When you were describing that, I thought, as I have on occasion, how scientific it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that we really are scientists. And, of course, that would cause to drop in the awareness that in this country, currently, there's a huge pushback against science. Mm-hmm. There's a huge movement to support ignorance. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to wonder where that comes from because we all know it in ourselves.
Mm, yeah. What we want to ignore, right? Like what we're conditioned not to want to look at.
That's right. Ego says, oh, no. You don't want to explore that. You don't want to get attention. No, don't look at that. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it can't stand up under that scrutiny. So, no, don't look at that. Why don't you buy something? Mm-hmm. Or why don't you, go online and read about, or why don't you,
Yeah, distraction being another bamboozle, right?
Mm-hmm. Big one. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, ladies. This is Amy from Virginia.
Well, hello, Amy. What are you seeing?
So I've been noticing that I keep getting stuck in content, not just around giving, but around a million different areas, and it finally dawned on me when I was doing some recording and listening yesterday that the ego keeps trying to say that if I scratch a certain itch that I'll feel relief, but then the ego keeps moving the itch.
That's
all
right.
The time. So the itches are endless.
The itches are endless. That's right.
And so,
but Amy, here's the other piece that you have to get. It's your fault that these itches keep moving.
Right.
If you just scratched right.
Exactly. Yeah. If I were a better scratcher, I could make it all go away. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like knowing that feels like several times a day I've been able to say, oh my gosh, that's an itch, and scratching it won't actually make it stop itching. It'll just become a different itch. So this has been really helpful.
Amy, that is truly huge. And I'm going to try to go fast on this because I could do several days. But what you're saying is just a critical awareness. It's so much of awareness practice is presented, framed by ego as, oh my God, deprivation, and it's hard, and it's depressing, and it's awful. Mm-hmm. And what you're going to have to do is do without everything you love, everything you care about, right? And so what you just saw was, and by the way, when we teach people to meditate, that is one of the examples that we use. Right? We don't scratch when there's an itch when we're sitting. Okay? We just don't do that. Why? Because we're going to learn exactly what you've seen. Right? Mm-hmm. And so when we catch on to that, not scratching becomes really interesting, fun, and infinitely rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
So the voice says, blah, 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 blah. You know, why don't you, whatever it is that it can pull you into as a distraction, and you and you say, no, that's an itch. I don't want to do that. I want to see what happens when I don't do it. That is the freeway to freedom opens up in front of you.
And so when you're not scratching, and you watch kind of a cascade of responses that the ego gives,
reactions.
Reactions. So the idea then is to just keep watching how miserable the ego can be, but not get sucked into it yourself.
Well, in fact, that is exactly it. And there's another little place that you can look. You can realize what you're doing is really fun. That what you're doing is taking the power away from ego. You are stopping ego from being able to torture you. It's a happy place to be in that awareness.
Okay. So don't make heavy, don't make heavy weather out of the not itching either. Like,
don't get
sucked into, oh, of course, I see. So don't get sucked into, I'm not itching, I'm not scratching that itch, even though it's itching, and oh my gosh, it really itches.
And how am I going to do it? And it's real, and then it's going to, So
I can't not itch for the rest of my life.
That's exactly right. So if it's something as simple as, I'm addicted to coffee, right? And the doctor says I should quit drinking it, and my nervous system says I should quit drinking it, but I'm really addicted to it, okay? So now what I realize is that system is trying to kill me, death by coffee, okay?
Right.
So I'm not going to do that anymore, right? But what do I want to drink? Something? Well, I'm going to learn to love tea. I'm going to learn to love tea. And that process is really fun because you're learning to love something that is going to be good for you. And the only way you can do that is from conscious awareness. So you're now positioned where you want to be in order to live a happy life.
Okay. I love that notion that freedom has happiness attached to it and isn't a grim slog to the end, you know.
That's exactly right.
Thank you for that.
In fact, if you're not happy, you're not practicing awareness.
Oh, okay? Wow.
When we're not happy, it's because we're caught in ego. That's how we know. That's how we know the difference. Ooh, go happy, Amy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yay. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Let us know.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Amy. Sherry, two things I was noticing about that conversation. The reason not to scratch the itch is because the relief I feel in scratching is the is the substitute for happiness that I'm promised, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And if I can,
it's feeding ego.
It is feeding ego.
I'm feeding ego. Yeah.
Process alive, and so like with all addictions, the short-term hit is what we have to be able to recognize. We can stand not having, in order to have the real thing. And as you were pointing out, Amy, that once we sort of don't scratch the itch, the process that sets in is not death by coffee, but death by wanting coffee and not having it.
Right.
Right? The suffering process just shifts. So I'm still dying for want of coffee. In the previous case, I'm dying from actually ingesting it, but now I'm dying because I want it and I can't have it. And so
desperate without it.
Redirect to what can I love instead is such an important movement to make, because it's the only way I can stay out of the ego and to realize that all three movements are part of the process of not indulging suffering.
Yes.
Yeah.
And back to the science, right? That's what you're describing. It's science. You do this, you do this, you do this. You take that. You add that, you're going to get that.
And it's predictable how ego is going to react at each stage. It's documented. Yep. Not only.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah. Oh, I want that. I want that. I want that. You really need that.
Right.
And you're going to, you know, you're going to have a grim life if you don't have it, right? I mean,
the
conversations are predictable.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lori. From Asheville.
Hello, Lori.
I'm in Montana right now, so this is so fabulous conversation. And looking at the giving part of it, I just had this thing happen because I'm traveling with somebody, and we've been like really in close quarters for a week. And I went into the room to have this call, and she was having, you know, some kind of a call and on speakerphone. And then I thought, well, I guess I could just go outside. And it was like giving, the whole thing of giving myself this space and this, just being able to make a choice, that just like what was being talked about, the choice for freedom instead of the choice for why is she in there making a speakerphone call when I want to blah, blah. And it's like this thing of being open for both of us, you know, giving this space, you know, giving.
Generous to her, generous to you, generous to everybody.
Yes.
And you get to breathe fresh air.
And I get to look out at this incredible sky and river and trees. Yeah, it's a win-win. And just seeing that, you know, moment to moment in the places that get a little glitchy when traveling with somebody, and then remembering, you know, I can have freedom right now instead of wanting to be right or getting my way or having the coffee. You know,
right.
It's all of that. It just seems so like in this really compressed opportunity of freedom moment to moment and kindness.
Well,
And
it's, Lori, it's, I can be here instead of in a conversation and conditioned mind about
Absolutely.
Not here.
Yeah, exactly. Or, the freedom from even wanting the coffee, which is where more suffering is. And so, I want this to be different. Well, what would I want different other than to be able to be alive in the moment that's presenting itself?
That's
right. Yeah,
That's exactly it. And life always has a better alternative for us.
Always.
Because in that
case,
you can just walk outside and be happy.
Right. But you know,
now,
sorry,
you
that,
could
that's
be happy
love.
In the. You could be happy in the room,
have it.
Right? Yeah, but why not just walk outside and be happy?
I know, and it's like every moment there is that invitation of. I could be happy right now.
It's instead of a V8, you could choose happy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I really love that. And the whole thing of practice of giving, that instead of there like this material, well, now what am I giving? Am I giving away money or food or, you know, it's the practice of giving. Giving over to life, and in that experiencing kindness and also just experiencing that openness in my own heart, and that's giving all the way around as far as I could tell. It's just here, there, everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, because there's nothing separate. There's nothing other than this here now. And in that, there is absolute freedom for all.
Yeah, and I will say that just having been traveling in this most amazing country that we live in, that's in the United States, that it just keeps reminding me of the beauty that is here always. Yeah, I'm so grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Along with a mask and social distancing.
You got it. Well, it's pretty much required everywhere, but when I'm walking in nature, it's like being in the Grand Canyon. Yes, that's right.
You trust the trees? Yeah,
I do.
Yes,
I'm really
exactly.
Trusting them. Yeah. Well, so thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Lori. Take care. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Lori. You know, the definition of giving that flashed in when that conversation was going on, Sherry, is and. Right? What's
uh-huh.
the and place that? Because when
oh,
it's
beautiful.
Not me or you, mm-hmm. then there is an opening up, a space of generosity, a place in which both are. And that is the life place, whereas the ego place is always mutually exclusive, right? It's mine,
yes.
It's me or you. And so we're
yes.
always in that place of scarcity and place of competition. And the surrender
mm-hmm.
to what's the place of the and is the most generous place, right? The all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, in fact, that is true. There is a way in which both are. But we don't
yes.
see it unless we're in the place
right.
where both are, right?
Yes. If we move from the world of ego duality
yes.
to a non-separate reality, then, as you say, and is the name of that world.
Yeah. All right. We have time for one
that's
more.
That's wonderful.
One more caller. Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay, well, I'm going to try someone else. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Sherry, I had to mute that caller because clearly they weren't on the call. Here's
right, they're on the call, but in another conversation.
Yeah, here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate.
Hello, Kate.
From New York. What I am seeing is that if I try to give to myself, ego always calls it self-absorbed brattiness and makes me want to doubt that giving.
Mm-hmm.
So it never
right.
wants me to relax into a giving. Like
okay.
it always makes me doubt it.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Is the breakdown there the fact that it's not a giving to you, which does introduce the little brat of ego, but in fact, what you're attempting to do is receive from life.
Mm-hmm. So say more about that. Like, I'm attempting to receive.
Well, that if I'm going to give to myself,
mm-hmm.
that automatically creates a duality. Because who is this myself who's going to give to me, or me who's going to give to myself?
Mm-hmm.
How does
right.
that work? Who are these people? Okay. But if
yeah.
if it's just time to say whatever it is, have something, relax into something, enjoy
mm-hmm.
something, it's more a receiving than an active doing by someone.
Got it. So, but even then, so ego wants to get credit to give to me.
That's exactly right. So
right?
say it drops in that you would like to, say we lived in a different world, you would like to have a friend over for dinner.
Correct.
But you have a lot of work to do, right? I mean, there's
mm-hmm.
a lot going on. And so
mm-hmm.
can you really give that to yourself? Can you give yourself that pleasant experience and evening of just enjoyment with your friend? But is that even an issue? Or is it simply receiving what life has given you.
Yeah. It's the open hand thing.
That's right. Yeah. So life says, in essence, probably not in full sentences, but Kate, why don't you invite someone over for and have dinner? Wouldn't that be lovely? Just comes to you, drops in as an idea.
Right.
And you say, well, yes, that would be lovely. And you do that. Okay? Ego is going to introduce a, well, now, but, you know, can you really, well, no, I, come on, I'm working hard. I deserve some time. I can give this to my, there we
right.
are, over in
right.
ego land.
Yeah, ego starts to introduce, well, if you do that, then you're going to have to do this. And it becomes this bargaining chip and, like, look at how spoiled you
That's
are.
Right.
And, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, okay, that really, yes, I see it very clearly
mm-hmm.
now.
Yes, and I hope you can very clearly see the projection. And what is it, spoiled little brat?
Spoiled brat, yeah.
Yeah. I think we can see who the spoiled brat is in the scenario, right?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, so we don't ever have to own those projections. Cause,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you. That was very helpful to see. Yeah.
Oh, good. All right. Thanks, Kate.
Yeah.
Take good care.
Bye-bye. You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kate. You know, what I find amazing is how accurate some statements of ego are. I can't give to myself. That's absolutely true.
Right.
You know? That's
yes.
because we're trying
yes.
to label something. And the reason we don't feel... we feel queasy or there's a little, what does that even mean, kind of, I can't do that, is that intuitive recognition of what you were just pointing to, that the giving happens when we receive from life. There's no construct where there's an I that gives to a me, because all of it is just unreal. And we intuitively sense that language is inaccurate and out of resonance with our experience.
And then ego uses that intuition against us.
Yeah.
Yeah, turns it into something else. Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry, and here's our assignment. Self-hate negates what we are by focusing the attention on what we're not. I'm talked into identifying with what's wrong with me. I'm told that I have to meet standards that fix or change me, that make me better, the way I should be, to be acceptable and lovable. Yet meeting these standards doesn't get me the approval or acceptance or love that I've assumed I will receive if I meet the standards. This whole orientation misses the point. What we're being conned into believing is that our inherent goodness is conditional and that authentic nature is dependent upon performance. So attention is taken away from the perfection of authentic nature and turned into an ego-maintaining dualistic conversation that causes us to believe our acceptance is conditional. Assignment.
Mm.
Make a recording that allows you to be in touch with the perfection of the true nature that is you. Listen to this recording as a way of training to stay with the realization of true nature rather than falling for the negation of the self-hating conversation.
Mm. Beautiful.
All right.
It's what I keep getting to this morning, afternoon,
mm-hmm.
evening.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sherry.